Man, that must have been a stinky car. It must have been a smelly car. I don't know. Listen, if you don't know much about, I loved how that kind of combined two ministries right there with Dollar Club and Embrace Grace. And if you don't know much about Embrace Grace, it is a ministry that we have here. Amber is one of our gals that we embraced. And if you don't know much about it, it's a ministry where we just come alongside single and unmarried moms with unplanned pregnancies. And what we, our goal is to love them in the name of Jesus and resource them enough to embrace the life of the baby so that they feel like they can do it. And so love that we were able to share both of these things at the same time. If you want to find more out about Embrace Grace, you can go to our website. You can contact Aaron as well with that ministry. And you can also find more about Dollar Club. And I just love that we were able to do both of those at the same time. So you can go to riverridge.tv and find more out about that. And so with that said, I do want to say good morning to everybody here, everybody who made it in the house, all of you who are out there watching online. And again, I do believe that when you give God this hour, it matters. And I'm just grateful that you made us a part of that hour. I just believe that he can, it makes a difference. He can redirect our hearts. He can redirect our hope, because that's what God can do, everybody. Amen. You know, that's, I just think it's really important. And I also today just want to maybe extend a special welcome to those of you here who maybe you were here at one of our Easter services and you took us up on the offer to come back and either check out God more or maybe find out if this is your church home. And so we are so glad that you are here as well. And by the way, can we just take a minute and praise God for the services at Hurricane High School. Amazing. Love that. That was great. The fact that we were able to pull it off, if I had time to tell you everything that did not go the way that we wanted it to go, I don't have time, but it was literally from Thursday all the way up to Sunday where we just had all these things coming up. Some of you don't know this, we literally had zero power up until minutes before the first service started in the gym. And I'm just telling you, God showed up, man, it was amazing. We were ready, we were prepared for anything, because listen, we were prayed up and we were ready and God showed up and we were not gonna let anything stop us from celebrating the resurrection of Jesus together. Come on, everybody. God showed up. It was pretty awesome. And it's one of those things, like, if you know, you know. If you know, you know. I'm not making this up. It was crazy how many things were trying to get stacked up against us. But man, we were prayed up for this. It was a cool thing to see. And all combined, we had 3,160 people in both services. Here's a picture of one of the services if you want to check it out. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty cool to see. And so for us, I just want us to understand something. For us, like, we know God's call. We know God's call on us. We want to carry the gospel in a way that creates space for people to encounter and experience Jesus. That's it. And listen, we are seeing it happen. We are seeing it happen, everybody, that people are coming here and they are catching the heart of the gospel in an environment where there is a true encounter with Jesus, the Savior of the world. And we are seeing more and more people just grow in their love of God, grow in their love of people, and also come to a saving knowledge and belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's just been an amazing ride for us over the last 17 years as a church. But with all of that, here's the thing, everybody, it comes a little bit of a challenge. And here's the challenge, we're out of room, okay? We literally don't have enough space anymore for everyone who wants to come and find Jesus. Now, I'll tell you, that's a good problem, But it's also still a problem. And so it's why we've been praying for and we're actively looking for land and space where we can actually build and create the space that we believe we need. But while we are doing that, we are literally doing that right now. While we are doing that and pursuing a long-term solution for that, here's the thing. God totally made it clear to us that we need to do something now. And so today I am officially announcing our move from two Sunday services to three Sunday morning services, everybody. We're going to three services. And so here's what's going to happen. And here's what I want to give some of you a heads up as well. Okay, so here's what we're hoping. We're not going to start next week, okay? We are hoping to launch three services, though, in late summer. We're hoping late July to get it moving for the fall, because we know the fall is going to bring even more numbers. We believe God is going to bring. And so here's what I want to tell you. So if you are here and you are currently on one of our ministry teams, okay? One, don't leave. And two, your ministry leaders are gonna be contacting you over the next several weeks to get you up to speed on the three service times, three Sunday morning times, and for you to pick the service that you want to serve in so then you could go to the one that you want to attend as well. And so with that said, here's the heads up. All right? We are going to basically need an entire new services worth of new ministry team people, which means if you're here and you have come here and you love this church and it's time to step up, everybody. Like, it's time for new folks to go, okay, I'm ready. Where's my place? Where's the team that I'm going to be a part of? We need people from nursery to preschool to 45 to student ministry to guest services to audio visual. We have a place for everybody, okay? Here's what, the only way we will be able to do this, the only way we're going to be able to do this is through new folks stepping up and joining a team. And so if you're here and you're one of those folks, I really want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this and think about it in light of what you know God is doing, all right, and what his call is on us and where you can fit with the church you attend and the church that you love and the church that you see God moving. And so I just really want to encourage you, this is it. This is time to step up with us. And so we're really looking forward to that. I actually really don't think we're going to have an issue. I think we're going to be ready to go in July. How about everybody? Everybody ready for this? 3 services? Come on, let's clap for it. We got to get excited. I'm excited. I'm pumped, all right? So we're gonna be talking more about it over the next couple weeks. I'm not gonna tell you when, so then we'll be like, ha ha, okay, so we'll do that. Hey, let's get to it. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them. Open them up to 2 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 3. So today, we are starting a 5-week series that we are calling Disciple, all right, where we are going to be looking at the characteristics of a Jesus follower. So really, we're going to be answering the question of this is like, what are the marks that should be there from someone who says, I'm a Christian? That's where we're going. And I love that we're bringing in this series right on the heels of Easter, I think, because for so many of us, Easter is a time where Jesus comes into full focus, right? That we get to reset, refocus on the life, death, and resurrection and what he did for us when he died on the cross, paid for our sins, raised back to life to give us not only forgiveness, but eternal life in heaven. And so I think for a lot of believers in Jesus, it's kind of a time where we hit reset. And for a lot of people, it's like, okay, man, I want to focus on Jesus more. Like this, I want to start and focus on Jesus more. And then also, for some of you, either this past Sunday on Easter service or maybe just recently, you prayed the prayer of salvation and you've been saved, you've been forgiven. And so now you're a Christian and the question for you is like, all right, so what now? Like what does this mean for me now that I would call myself a Christian? And so I think this is gonna be a great series for all of us because it's gonna hopefully give us a few answers to talk about when we talk about what a disciple is and what it means to follow Jesus. So here's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna first take a look and tackle just the idea of what a disciple is. We're gonna look at it, define it, and give a few things to understand over the next couple weeks. So let's just understand the word disciple because I think for a lot of people, I think the word could be unknown. The word disciple, maybe you kind of have heard the word before, but you don't really know what it means. Is there a difference between disciple and Christian? What does it really mean? And I think for some of you, the word disciple is probably a heavy word, right? It's like, whoa, I don't know about that one. Like, what am I getting into? I didn't realize I was calling me one of those. I didn't know I was calling myself one of those, okay? Like, so I want to talk about that. So when you look up the word disciple in the Bible, you will find it in the New Testament. It will pop up about 261 times, depending on the translation that you use. And the word disciple, if you want to write that down, is the word mathetes, or that's the West Virginia way to say it. That's the best way I could say it. Mathetes, that's the Greek. I think I got it. And here's what it means. It means learner, pupil, or apprentice. It means learner, pupil. It really what it means is a disciple is a student who learns from and eventually does the work of the teacher. So for us, here's what's important to know about this. See that if you are here and you have placed your faith in Jesus, right? And you know for a fact that God has redeemed you, forgiven you, set you free from sin and death through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you are a disciple of Jesus. Like that's the name that you could put on yourself. So that's because what a disciple is again, is someone who learns from and does the work of Jesus. And here's what I want to tell you. Before you start to think that disciple is too big a word for you to put on yourself, let me help you a little bit by going to and looking at the first disciples of Jesus in the Bible. I think this is going to help put a little pressure off of you. But if you're like, I don't know if I want to call myself one of those, because when you start to look at the disciples with these guys, I think sometimes we forget their backstories. right? So what I want us to see is before Jesus called them disciples, here's who these guys were. They were fishermen. They were carpenters. They were tent makers. They were tax collectors. They were just ordinary people. That's really who they were. They weren't like these heavy hitters of religion. They were a lot more like us than sometimes we give them credit for. And here's the thing, everybody, for each one of them, one day Jesus said, follow me, and they did. And then they were called disciples. That's it. He said, follow me, and they started, and they became disciples. And so all the disciple is someone who is a follower and a learner of Jesus, okay? And another thing you'll see with the disciples is also this, is that for all of them, every single one of them, being a disciple, it was more of a journey than the destination. It was more of the journey that they were on and the destination that they didn't arrive on. The process of being a disciple did not happen overnight for any of them. And so we shouldn't expect that to happen for us either. It's a journey. It's a journey. And so for us here at River Ridge Church, we're all on that journey here. And we're all here. We come into this place to help each other in that journey. The way we say it is we exist to help you take next steps in your journey with God. That's who we are. That's what we're about. It's what we've been about here for the last 17 years, and we ain't changed. Okay, that's just what we're all about, okay? And so with all of that in mind, as we kind of define what a disciple is, here's the one thing today that I want to look at with this idea. I want to look at one thing today, one thing that I believe every growing and maturing disciple of Jesus seems to have in common. And this is really today the setup of what we're going to be talking about over the next 5 weeks in this whole series. And it's about this one word that I think growing, maturing disciples have in common, and it's more. More. I think when you see someone who is really getting after it with God, growing and sort of maturing in Jesus, experiencing God at a level that is just obvious that, man, they really are seeing God move in their lives. It's because I believe they are saying one thing. I want more, Jesus. God, I want more of you in my life. And here's the deal. This is why I think this is an easy thing for us to get. We all get that. Like, I think the idea of wanting more, I actually think that it is hardwired in us. I really do. In fact, I'm willing to bet that some of you are like me, and some of you in here can testify in this room that you have made a purchase late at night in the TV infomercial era, come on somebody, where you totally bid on this line. Everybody, you can say it with me, and if you know it, here it is. But wait, there's more. Now you got three ab flexors up in your attic collecting dust. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't say I'm the only one. I got something called the flying lure. Anybody got the flying lure? Like, I got bit on that. They're like, this thing will catch fish left and right. No, it didn't. It just cost me $30. You know what I'm saying? And I got four sets of them that nobody wanted because there's more, right? Right? And how we progress as humans, we all get this, right? Most of our progress has come from this mentality of I want more. There has to be more. And you know, I think things have gotten better because of that as well. You know, I think about the things that have progressed in my life. There's a lot of them. You know, I thought a lot about, one example for me is music. Music, right? I don't think some of you appreciate how easy it is to get music today. I grew up in the 80s. I totally get how easy it is to get music today because I remember as a kid going fishing with my dad, and in his truck, he had a player that played one of these. Anybody know what this is? Anybody know what it is? 8-track. Come on, somebody testify. 8-track, right? Now listen, we had two choices in the truck with my dad, either Willie Nelson or the Oak Ridge Boys. Come on, somebody. Like, that was it. And here's the thing about 8-track. Some of you don't know this. There's no rewind. There's no fast forward. It just played on a loop. It never stopped. And you get in and keep playing. You get out and then you pick up. It's like, oh, there's that song again, right? And then we'll just keep going through the loop, right? 8-track. Then we got the cassette tape. The cassette tape was great. Because now you could rewind, you could fast forward, you know, and then you could get more. You could get 8, you could get 16 songs on there, and you could record songs. You know, I remember, like, for me, late at night, I was trying to record the request line on the radio and trying not to get the DJ in on there. Anybody with me on that? Like, oh, DJ, get out of there, right? And just get the right songs for the girl that I wanted to get it to, you know. And you get 18 songs on that tape, right? Then you got CDs. Right, that was a game changer, because then all of a sudden you put that thing in, you just hit a button and skip to the whole next song. And it was like, what? That's crazy. You know, and you could get like over 20 songs on a CD. And then came the iPod. I mean, that if there's ever a game changer, that's like, you remember the original iPods? They were like this big and weighed 1,800 pounds. You remember that? Like, you could knock somebody out with that brick, right? But you could fit thousands of songs on that thing. That was amazing. In fact, like, I have this one. This is a, look at that. You can't even see it. This is what I got. It's a little mini iPod. You could fit 50 songs on this little thing, and that's what I used to run with. It's not even, I mean, I remember plugging that thing in, and I'm like, even the plug-in was, like, bigger than this, right? And now today, like, you got, it's just all digital. All available, it's all on your phone, right? And it's all, unless you get the free version, no ads, I got the free version. But you know, I'm just saying, it's amazing. But it all comes from this mentality of there's gotta be more. There's gotta be more. And here's what I wanna say today. See, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we can bring the same mentality into following Jesus, that we can have a passion and a desire to want more of Jesus, to want more of God's presence and peace and purpose in our lives. And here's the message that God has for you, and it's this, is that God has more. He has more, and here's the big thing that I want us to all have in mind with this. See, for us, this is the big idea of the whole series. See, for us, every single step we take with God, every single step that we take, we will experience more of God. We will experience more of God. That if we want more, God has more. Because that's the business that God is. God specializes in more because God made you for more. Check this out. This is Ephesians 3:20. It says this, that now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So everybody listen, here's the God that we have. Here's the God we have. We have a God who is not limited with what you think is possible. We have a God, like his more is bigger than your dreams. It's deeper than your needs. It's more powerful than anything that you could do on your own. Anybody agree with me on that today? Come on, somebody. That's the God we have. And that's the more he wants to bring into your life. And so over the next 5 weeks, that's where we're gonna look at some of the things that people who want more of Jesus, more of God do. And more importantly, we're gonna see what God can do. See, we're gonna see what God can do when we bring this mentality to him. And so today, we're just gonna look at the why. We're gonna look at just a couple reasons why we should take these steps into discipleship, into the process, into the journey of being a disciple. So we're gonna get to it. 2 Corinthians 3, if you opened up there, and this is gonna be kind of a pathway of what will happen when we take steps as disciples in Jesus. We're gonna read from verse 16 to 18, and I'm in the NLT version. If you're electronic, you wanna read with me. So here's what it says, picking up in verse 16. It says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So in here, everybody, are three things, three reasons why we want to take steps, and three things that will happen as we take steps as disciples, desiring more of God in our lives. If you're writing these down, here's the first one, that every next step, every single next step that I take as a disciple will deepen my connection with God. That's a great reason why you want to take steps. Is every single step will deepen my connection with God. This is from verse 16 that says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So what this was referencing was the veil was referencing the veil that Moses wore when he was in God's glory on Mount Sinai. Like if you remember the story, he went up to talk to God and God's presence was there. And when Moses came down, his face was revealing the glory of God. Like it was apparent that he was with God. And so then, but here's the thing, because when the people saw it, because of where they were with God at that point, it was the sin of the people and the disconnection that they had with God, like they couldn't take it. And so Moses actually wore a veil on his face because they weren't drawn to it. They were actually scared of it. They were afraid of it. And so that represented the disconnect that people had with God. But here's what I want to tell you. See, but now, because of Jesus, and we just celebrated this last week with Easter, with the resurrection, see, we don't have anything to fear. The veil has been removed, everybody. There is no longer a barrier. There's nothing in between us and God, that we have access to God, and that the way into his presence is wide open. It's absolutely wide open. And the only reason Jesus did this for you, The whole reason why God made this access to you is so that you could have a relationship with him where every step you take in him gets you closer in a connection with your heavenly Father, the creator of the universe. See, everybody listen to me. God, you got to catch this. God doesn't want anything from you. He wants everything for you. He wants everything for you. So, you know, I thought about me, like I was saved at 17 years old. I talk about this quite a bit. And I was what you call a prodigal. I was running towards everything but God. I rejected God in every sense. And then I was running after everything to try to find peace in my life. And obviously I could not find it. I couldn't find peace until I finally met Jesus. I met him and I wish I could explain to you on that day, March 5th, 1995, because I will never forget that day. Like it's like seared in my brain and my heart. But on that day, like I couldn't tell you how amazing the grace was that poured all over me. And the forgiveness that came to me and the peace that I finally felt. Like I felt like life finally started. And here's what I want to say. Like if you were to ask me then and a couple days after that, Andy, can it get any better than this? I would tell you there is no way that it could possibly get any better than this. But I will tell you right now, standing here today, I can tell you it can get better. It does get better. Come on, somebody. It gets better and better. God continues to give me access. And the more steps I take, the closer I get to him, the more connection I have with God. So it doesn't matter where you start. But it's in every step, every single step that you take, you will get more. Everybody, listen, I'm here to testify to you personally. It's where you will find more peace. It's where you will find more clarity in your life, more purpose, more transformation, more freedom in your life. The deeper you go with him, the more you're gonna find it. So that's why we take these steps. Make sense, everybody? Like that's why we don't wanna stay in the same place. We wanna keep taking these steps towards God's because we're not gonna grow if we don't take a step. That's not how God works. It's in the step where you'll find more connection to who God is and what he can do. So that's the first reason. Here's the second reason why. Because every single next step, it moves me closer to a life of freedom. It's another great reason why we should keep moving forward with God in this process of discipleship. This is from verse 17. It says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Where's freedom? And if you see it say that there is freedom, the next question is, what kind of freedom is he talking about? What is the kind of freedom that we can have? Well, Jesus helps us. Here's what Jesus says in John 10:10. He says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what freedom in Jesus is. Here's what freedom with Jesus is in a nutshell, that he wants you to have life, but he also wants you to have life to the full. Another translation says, life abundantly. He wants you to have abundant words pouring over you and it's overflowing in you. That's the kind of life that Jesus wants you to have. And here's what I want to tell you. If that's what Jesus offers us, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of life I want with him. Come on, somebody. Like, that's what I want to go after. But the reality is, here's the reality. There are a lot of Christians who don't actually know or experience what being truly free really is like. A few years ago, and I'd shared this not too long ago, a survey was done, and it was asking Christians, people who said, I am a Christian follower of Jesus, about what the Bible says and what they are experiencing, okay? And they found that 80% of people would read John 10:10 and say that that is not the kind of life they're experiencing. That's crazy to me. They don't feel like that's true of their lives. And I don't know where some of you are with that. Maybe you would say the same thing in your life. But here's what I will tell you. For me, I'm not okay with that. Like, that's not the kind of life that I want with God, because I know that's not what he wants for me. Because here's the crazy thing. I believe Jesus doesn't lie. All right? I believe he doesn't lie. And so if he says we can have life and life to the full, then why don't we just go after that? Like, why don't we just go after that? So how do we do it? Well, Jesus helps us again, okay? He goes, if you want it, I'll tell you how to get it. And he helps us in John 8. He says, okay, so you gotta, and this is crucial, what he's about to tell you. This is critical. We're gonna break this down, but you need to read this and underline it if you're in your Bible, John 8:31. He says, so if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We get this scripture messed up all the time. You hear people, oh, you know the truth? No. The truth is Jesus. And growing in Jesus, that's what's gonna set you free. So what Jesus is saying, he says, listen, if you want freedom, here's the pathway to it. Here it is. if you abide in my word. That's what he says directly. If you abide in my word, what's that mean? In other words, you know what Jesus says to do and you do it that way. That's called obedience. That's right. That's called what we call is lordship. That we so in other words, what I would say is you follow his commands. So we don't just say yes to Jesus, we live out our yes to him. Totally different things. I hear people say yes to Jesus all the time, but are you living out your yes to him and your decisions and the responses that you have in the gospel out there in the world? You follow his commands, right? So that's what it looks like. So Jesus is saying, here's what he's saying, that freedom and obedience to God are connected. Freedom and obedience to God are connected. A lot of people are like, why would we follow what he says to do? Because freedom's connected to obedience. So here's the way I would say it. Like God's commands, God's ways, right? They're not our ways, right? They're not our ways, but it's almost like a straight highway with guardrails on it, right? And we're driving on that. God, here's what God is saying. Listen, if you stay in that, like in that way, if you stay right within those guardrails, then you are under my way, you're under my word, my law, my lordship. And if you stay in that space, here's what he's saying. You will experience freedom. Freedom to move, freedom to go, more freedom you'll ever experience if you're outside of those guardrails. So here's what I'll say. So when we do money God's way, a lot of Christians aren't. When we do money God's way, freedom will come. When we forgive the way Jesus tells us to forgive, freedom, we will experience more freedom. And the more, here's the thing, the more you experience, the more you want of it. Come on, somebody. The more you will believe the power of God revealing itself as you do these things that he tells us to do. So one of the primary characteristics of a disciple who wants more is what they do is they look at Jesus and they look at what they, like who they're learning from. I'm learning from you, Jesus. And they look at what they got to do and say, okay, Jesus, like what do I do? I'll just do that. You tell me what to do and I'll do that. And by the way, before you, and I've said this all the time, before you even say it, my answer is yes to you. Like that's the difference. That's what we do. So for disciples, like when you get saved, that salvation moment, that doesn't complete the process. That starts it. Like that starts it. See, then there's a lifetime of us going through the journey. It's what we talk about, going through the process of, all right, what is the truth that I need to know? And then you know God in his truth in that way, and then you apply that truth in your life because it goes against a lot of the natural things that we want to do. Anybody connecting with what I'm saying out there? Like a lot of times what we feel like we should do, God's like, no, don't do it that way, do it my way. And then the more we connect to that and say yes to God and not my own inclinations, my own sort of sinful desires, see, then we will see us being set free. Making sense so far? I think these are pretty easy reasons why we want to keep taking steps with God. Here's the last one. Every step brings more purpose in God's mission. Every step brings more purpose in God's mission. So this is verse 18. It says, so for all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. Everybody, this is the Great Commission. Like this is the whole reason why we stay down here once we get saved. Like we don't just poof up to heaven, but we have work to do down here. So this is the entire goal of this. Here it is, everybody, that as we grow in these steps, it will deepen our connection with God. We will experience more freedom that comes with it, and it will cause us to be the church in the world and fulfill God's plan to grow the kingdom. You know, I thought about a question that a question you will never, ever see in the Bible. Where do you go to church? You'll never see that in the Bible. Why? Well, because, you know, like we say things like, where are you going to church? Hey, you going to church? How is church today, right? You say those things. To the early like followers of God, the early Christians, that would have made no sense to them. Like, where are you going to church? Like, that would have been like us today going and looking at a house and saying, boy, you got a beautiful family. Like, that makes no sense, right? It's like, it's a house. Like, the house, like a family consists of people. A house is where families reside. You get what I'm saying so far? So it's like where they stay. And the family doesn't even stay in the house the whole time. Like, we go out and we live our lives and we go out in the community and we do things right. Everybody get what I'm getting at right here? So, like, for us, like, this is our house. And I'm glad we got it. Grateful that we're able to do that. We come here, we worship, and we're reminded together about who Jesus is, and we need that. And with what can happen is we sort of then can limit church to 9:15 and 11 on a Sunday, or 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:45 on a Sunday, right? We kind of limit ourselves to that. But the church, we got to catch this. The church isn't something you go to in here. The church is who we are out there. Come on, somebody. Like, that's who we are. When we came here 17 years ago, we came here with the knowledge that the last thing this community needs is another church building with a church's name on it. That's not why we came. That was not the vision that we had. There are plenty of those here already. We came here with a vision that the vision of the first church had, that we are here to be a church where growing Christians and unchurched people and jaded, burned out Christians could come and see Jesus and who he is and what his mission is all about. And that is to have a devoted relationship with him and then to go out there. This is what we came here for, to go out there and reflect that in our community, reflect that in our work, reflect that where we play and all those things that we have never wavered from that. We're still, that's still our mission today. And see, gang, listen, when we all can get behind that, when we can all get behind the idea that a church isn't a building, it isn't a place. Come on, man, it's not a press, it's not a policy, it's not any of that stuff. It is a gathering of people with the knowledge that there is a movement around an event, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that creates a mission that is more, that it's big, it's something that people can embrace and grow. Anybody with me on that so far? Come on, anybody with me? Everybody awake today? Like, that's who we are, and we're never gonna waver from that. So that's just a few reasons why we wanna step into this discipleship, why we wanna call ourselves disciples and move more and more towards God. Those are the reasons. So here's how I wanna finish today. So over the next 5 weeks, we're gonna be talking about a lot of things that disciples do and how God shows up. But I wanna challenge us with really three big things to maybe put this on your fridge or something, just to challenge ourselves in as we go through the next 5 weeks and to discover the process of the disciple who wants more. Just challenge us. Here's number one that I wanna challenge you in right now. I gotta get with God, who God says I am. Like, we have got to get with who God says that we are. Like, I just think for all of us, I mean, some of us especially, like, you got to get on the same page with God. You have to. I get, man, I'm telling you, sometimes we listen to the craziest lies about ourselves. And we, listen, if we listen to those lies, our response is going to be all messed up. You hear what I'm saying? You got to stop listening to so many lies. It affects how we respond. But here's what I'll tell you. If you are here and you are redeemed by Jesus and you are called to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God, come on, everybody, you are a disciple. We need to step into who God says that you are. You need to step into that identity. You are not called to be who you once were, but you are called to who God wants you to become. Here's what Colossians says about it. He says, listen, you used to walk in those ways. You used to walk in the ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all things such as these. This is a process we want to invite you in. This is a process, this is the journey that we want to be on, to give you moments with God like that, right? Too many of you right now, today, in this moment, watching and in this seat, too many of you are still in the used to. You got to get over to the but now. Come on, somebody, but now. Here's a second one that I want to challenge you in. You got to give God permission to change you. You have to give him permission to change you. God wants to change you. Again, he doesn't want something from you. He wants everything for you. And he wants to change you. Change can happen. But here's what we need to get to a place of. This is it. This is why change probably doesn't happen to a lot of folks. You got to get to a place where you say this. This is it. All right, God, nothing's off limits. Nothing in my life. I'm not protecting anything else from you in my life. Like, that's it. No part of my life is off limits to you. You have to trust God in every single area of your life. And he will act. He will act. You can't have any, the way I said it before is like, you cannot have any do not enter signs with God in your life. I think that's how a lot of Christians operate. Hey, I'll do all this stuff here, but then in this area of life, no, money, finances, relationships, whatever. And then you wonder, like, how come God's not moving in my life? Because that's not how God works. Like, we need to give God access to every area of my life. Why give God permission like that? Why? Because you're a disciple. You're someone who wants more of Jesus, more of God in your life. And we go back to believing what Jesus said. He's like, I came to give you life and life abundantly, life to the full. So give me access. That's all God's saying. Give me access and I will open up your world. I'll open up your life. And here's the last one. Just believe more can begin today. Just believe more can begin today. Listen, God wants to change you. I think sometimes we get rushed in change. Like, I think we want change to happen just like this, right? And sometimes it will with God, and sometimes it won't. Change can take time. But here's what I do believe. This is what I believe. Today, for every single one of us in this room, change can begin today. Come on, somebody. Everybody can take a step in the right direction of change. Believe it. Believe it. Believe God has more for you. Believe in the limitless God in your limited life. Come on, somebody. Like, we got to believe it. So if we come to God wanting more, and if we have a God who wants to give us immeasurably more than we can ever imagine, then we need to believe. Listen, then we need to believe. Here's what we need to believe, everybody. Then our best days are ahead of us. Amen, everybody? All right. Hope you're ready for the next 5 weeks. Let me pray. Hey, God, I'm excited for my own life right now. I'm excited for this journey. I needed a boost, man. I needed to be excited about something. And you give us so much to be excited in and invested in and what you want to bring us. I thought about last week, God, and how you kind of gave me the message of why we should be the most hopeful people on the planet. And I still believe that. And I want to keep moving in that direction because of all the stuff you want to do in our lives. Change isn't going to happen on my own. Change isn't going to happen overnight, but you are the God who wants to give me more, who wants to give me more purpose, more hope, more peace, more life, to be doing something that is way better than I could ever do on my own. I pray that over every single person here this morning to believe that as well in their lives. I can't do that on my own. Holy Spirit, I pray you work in a way right now where we're ready for the next couple weeks here to see what disciples do and to believe that you can do more in our lives. I pray that we have the courage to see what needs change, and I pray we have the boldness to step forward and believe that change can happen with you. We love you. Jesus, thank you for dying for us so that we can have a way and that the veil is removed, the curtain is torn. We have full access to God. It's an amazing experience we can have every day with you. And I pray that we're encouraged more today than we were yesterday. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, everybody. Hey, listen, I really hope you get excited over the next 5 weeks. Come back next Sunday for the next thing we see disciples do. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.